Good morning, you guys. This is going to be another segment of our questions and answers. So we have some really interesting questions today, okay? Now, Wesley online on YouTube, he asked me, he said, could you do some research on this game app called Pokemon Go? I get a weird feeling about it, okay? And I gave him a little short reply, but I'm really going to answer it today, okay? Miss Judith also was asking about Pokemon Go. She said, what do you think about this Pokemon Go app? It scared me and I took it off my phone. Okay. Now, I want y'all to look at this picture. This is just the picture that goes with the app. I'm not really going to break it all down according to what, you know, whatever may be in the picture. But this is Pokemon Go. I guess it must be fairly new because a lot of people are playing it and talking about it. Okay. What I told Miss Judith and Mr. Wesley, point blank, because I've talked about Pokemon in some of the other messages. Pokemon is demonic, period. Anybody who's playing that, collecting cards, doing the game, all of that, it's demonic. But let's break it down a little bit, okay? Pokemon, the word Pokemon, is a contraction of two Japanese words, Poketo and Monsut. And when you put those together, it means pocket monsters in English. The combination of two words to make a single name is a popular way for Japanese titles to transition into English, especially when they're long or similar or trademark names. While the exact number, listen to this, because when I did talk about Pokemon, Miss Joy, who's an SRA, MK Ultra, DID survivor, okay, she's Christian, she shared with me that she remembered when it was released in Japan at the movie theater and all the little kids and everything went to watch it, that there was a big outbreak and a lot of the kids had seizures. Listen to this, and this is documented online. While the exact number of children legitimately affected by the show will likely never be known in total, 685 kids were put in ambulances suffering some kind of medical problem after watching the episode. While most made speedy recoveries, some within minutes after the show's conclusion, a small number were diagnosed with epilepsy, which had been triggered by the rapidly blinking display. Now, they try to act like, oh, it was just the lights. It was just the, you know, the animation and the flashing lights and stuff that set that off, that triggered that off. Now, for those of you guys out there who know about epilepsy, that is something that can trigger a seizure that can bring that on, okay? But that's not the only thing about this game. They made changes, and they said it was all due to the colors and the light flashes that sent kids into seizures. So they revamped it, made some changes, and then they rolled it back out saying it's all good now. It's okay. We took care of that. It's not a problem anymore. Okay. That's a high number of kids that had an incident that day. That's close to 700. Okay. The monster that was on screen when the incident occurred was called Porygon. For us in America, that would be Polygon, because the Japanese don't pronounce L's, so they say Porygon, but we would say Polygon. Okay, so I looked up about Polygon, since I know that Pokemon is demonic and every single little monster in the game is occultic. All you have to do is look up the names, what they mean. You can look at, they got dragons and all kinds of stuff in there that always represents Satan. So, okay, I looked into this Polygon. Why was this one the one that was on screen when the incident occurred, and what's Polygon mean in the occult? The unicursal hexagram was created for the purpose of drawing the figure in one continuous movement. As the other magical polygons are created, the pentagram is one example. There is a totally satanic company also called Polygon. When you look into that, there's a company that comes up online. It's making nothing but satanic books, games, all of it. And they're loud and proud, and the name of their company is Polygon. I've also been thinking about that G in the middle of the Masonic symbol, because this is who is also behind this game. Because when you look at who's creating it and what their purpose is in the occult, okay, that they're all Masons, right? And so thinking about that G in the middle of the Masonic symbol, the G is for their god, Lucifer, who they call the great architect. It is also for geometry. That's where we're getting all these shapes, okay? We just talked about this unicursal hexagram, okay, where you draw this hexagram thing in one fluid movement. And polygon, we're talking about shapes. We're talking about geometry. See, this is what they do in the occult and in witchcraft. They draw pentagrams. They use hexagrams. They use their triangles. They use salt circles. They do all of this stuff, okay? So this took me to the G in Freemasonry, thinking about that, because this ties into this Pokemon stuff, because G for the great architect, Lucifer, and it also is for geometry, because they draw all sorts of symbols and signs to invoke demonic powers, and it's for gender. Listen to this about the G for gender, because I didn't hit on this one before. The sexual connotations to Masonic symbols, sex in the G, because it's right in the middle of the compass and the square. The letter G figures prominently in Freemasonry. In the lower degrees, the initiate is told that the letter stands for God. See, that's what they tell them. Oh, we're a Christian organization. That G is for God. We're proud of it. And you think you joined a good social Christian organization. That's a lie. The further up you advance, then you're going to find out who you pledged allegiance to in the Masons, okay? Stands for God and for geometry. So that's innocent enough, right? God and geometry. What's wrong with that? Which the supreme architect of the universe used to design this wonderful cosmos. However, occultist and 33rd degree Mason Arthur Waite quotes Eliphas Levi, who is also a 33rd degree Mason, telling us that the letter G stands for Venus, and that Venus's symbol is a lingam, a stylized phallus that stands for the male body part. Okay. Now, it's, and they give what book that's written in. And the links and stuff are on the church website, y'all, if you want to look at this research. Then they say the greatest Masonic author of all time, Albert Pike, who was a big known Freemason, agrees. He states in that book, Morals and Dogma, that the monad, the number one, is male, and the duad, number two, is female. Their sexual union produces the triad. So they come together and they produce the triad, which is represented by the letter G, the generative principle. This term, generative principle, is code for the sex act. And you want to know something about that? I'm going to throw this in there too. Just for me personally thinking, it's also G for goat. Because that's who Satan is. Okay? Don't forget that the Freemasons are all about the sexual act. They're all about going against and glorifying everything that God never glorified. And trying to, defile everything that God called holy. The union between a man and a woman, and they just try to bring sex, and they don't mean they're doing pedophilia, they're doing child molestation, rape, everything else, homosexual acts, all of it, and they're, because it's all part of their religion, their cult, what they do to get more demonic powers. So I want you to see that G for geometry ties right into that polygon, which tied right into that movie theater, which sent 700 kids out of there having epileptic seizures and problems that day. Okay? And I want to remind you, these video games like this Pokemon Go and everything else to do with Pokemon, the creators openly serve Satan. And they are, they're Masonic, and they pray curses. They pray over this stuff. And their attitude is, you buy it, you watch it, then you need a curse. Then you need these demons. You need this activity in your life. That's why God said, be careful what you're doing. And I want to give you a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. God said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Right there alone, I'd say Pokemon Go is pretty evil. But listen to this. Miss Teresa wrote in last night, because that's what God does with his believers. He keeps us on the same page. At the same time, you can call them confirmations. She wrote this to me, and I'm going to share this with y'all. She said, she was wanting to bring it to my attention. She said that there were some YouTubers who have been talking about this Pokemon Go app and what's going on with people. Now, this is not, I haven't vetted this out. I'm just sharing this from what she has had, second, third hand information, whatever, okay? Y'all can look online. She said that these channels talked about how there were two guys that fell off a cliff onto the beach below. She said she thought one fell 50 feet and the other one fell further down because they were into that app and they weren't paying attention to where they were at. She said others were walking into traffic and some even driving while playing the game. Wow. Talk about becoming a danger to others around you. So now she says, she shared this story. She said, Friday afternoon, as I was walking to the parking structure where I'm currently working in a contract assignment, I actually encountered someone playing the game. Two middle-aged gals came to an abrupt stop just in front of me, and they were right in the lane where cars are exiting very quickly. So they're all into their Pokemon Go game, and they just stopped right in the lane where cars are trying to leave this parking garage area. So she said, I had a gut feeling that this is why they were both looking so intently at their phones. So I asked, you wouldn't by any chance be playing that new Pokemon Go, would you? And one of them laughed and said, yeah. She also told me she caught a monster and pointed to where it was in the parking garage. As she was walking alongside of me, I asked if I could see what it was she was looking at. She let me, and what I saw was an animated snake. Looks like a viper or python. Coiled up and moving around a bit. Now that represents Satan always. It just so happened she was parked right next to me. So I took the opportunity to share with her that that game is tied to the CIA and other government agencies. Right? They're tracking us everywhere we go. And that everyone playing it is being tracked through it. She said, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it because of the GPS having to be on. So you have to have your GPS on to play this game. I then told her that though it seems like a fun and harmless game on the surface, that it's far from being harmless. She even said, it's so addicting. She also mentioned that a friend of hers called to tell her that she had caught 200 monsters. That is some serious playing right there. That is some serious, I ain't getting anything else done because I'm playing this game. And she needed to get busy, telling her friend, you need to get busy and catch up. In addition, I mentioned to her how it was created, released to be a major distraction to the masses. She agreed. However, as I was getting ready to drive out, she got back on and was playing again. As I drove away, I did pray and ask the Father to take the blinders off people and to let them see how truly evil this thing is. I want to tell you something. That's what they do too. They create games and stuff just like all those Facebook games and all this stuff just to suck up your time. And you want to know, that is about getting you away from God. That's about that stuff becoming your idol and what you spend your time on, let alone the frequencies that are drawing in that demonic activity into your home and into your life, okay? And any of that can manifest at any time. So that's what I have to say about Pokemon Go. Don't play it. Don't have it. Get rid of it. It's not holy. Okay, God said abstain from all appearance of evil, and it is evil. Okay, Miss Donna wrote in, and she said, here is my current question. What do you think is the meaning of the astronomy wonder that is said to go, be occurring on September 23rd, 2017? On this day, according to From Rapture Pentecost 202, a YouTube video, January 12 of 2015, seven heavenly bodies will be in almost perfect conjunction alongside the constellation. Now, this is supposed to happen September 23rd, 2017. Seven heavenly bodies will be in almost perfect conjunction alongside the constellation, known in Latin as Virgo, or in English, Virgin. This means that there will be 12 stars over her head. The sun will be at her shoulder, the moon at her feet. Jupiter will have been in her abdomen 42 weeks. Then Jupiter departs. Using constellation software, 6,200 years into the past and 1,200 years into the future, this alignment occurs only once in all of man's history. Also, September 23rd is the day after the Feast of Trumpets. And she references Revelation 12, 1 through 2. That's where it talks about the woman with the stars above her head and the moon at her feet. Okay, that's a symbol of Israel. Okay, this is what I have to say to this question. I want to caution this kind of study and this kind of excitement getting tangled up into this kind of stuff. Okay, last year at Feast of Trumpets, I was so excited. And I just knew that the Lord was going to return and rapture his bride. Okay? I had listened to Mark Biltz teach on the four blood moons. And then to Jonathan Kahn teaching about the Smita year and the Jubilee and all of that. A Jubilee was about to start. And there seemed to be that all the signs were lining up. The conditions were right, so to speak. Okay? Then nothing happened. Nothing happened. It was like a big letdown. Okay? I thought about it, and looking back, I can see that I was wanting the rapture to happen so bad that I got caught up in these things. Okay? I had to unplug from worldly teaching, even though it seemed to be coming from Christians. Okay? Because sometimes we don't know everything about their walk and their agenda, and we got programmed people out there. I'm not trying to just throw those two guys under the bus, but I'm just saying there was a lot of hype around these teachings and these things, okay? God did say that he had used the sun and the moon for stars. The sun, moon, and stars for signs. Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Now, we learned through Mark and Jonathan that seasons was Moed, which are the Lord's appointed times. That's his feast days that he gave to the Jews. Okay? Signs, the word in Hebrew for signs is oath. Signs, tokens of changes and weather and times, of heavenly luminaries. Over in Jeremiah, that word, it says changes of the heavens as omens to frighten the nations. Okay, because they can be good things, right? We were taught that, the blood moons was supposed to be bad for Israel, right? And wasn't it the blood moons were bad for Israel anyway, and something else was for the nations. Eclipses or something were for the nations. So that kind of thing, because they looked at it and supposedly studied it out. Okay. What source, this is what I want to know. What source is saying this hasn't happened going back in history for 6,000 years and going forward that it won't happen again for 1,200 years? Because we know that NASA lies. And they cover up stuff and they keep information from us. And then they put out stuff that's disinformation. Okay? So what source is saying that, first of all? How do they know, right? Is it truth? The Illuminati have studied God's word and they put their agents out to try to start hype and get all of us to fall into their trap. Remember, they have people that are programmed to seem like Christians but are working their agenda. And they have people to run interference, spreading truth and lies at the same time. One of the other big things last year was that the Pope was coming to the U.S. around the Day of Atonement, and CERN was going to be turned on at this time. And remember, too, so much hype was going on. Everyone seemed to be on edge and just felt like something was about to happen. Something was going to happen. Okay, there was that star that appeared that everyone thought was the Bethlehem star. Okay, showed up in the middle of all of this, too. So there was a lot of things working in that rap to get you all excited and really feel like, okay, remember that the Illuminati are capable of putting fake signs in the sky with their Project Bluebeam through HAARP and all their other, you know, technological machines and things that they have, their technology. They can manipulate the weather, okay? So they can cause these things to happen to serve their purpose. They know the prophecies, and they are planning and playing head games with us. This is why I keep stressing that we have to be led by Holy Spirit. He is the one, and Him alone. And to me, the virgin in the sky is not the sign of Jesus, because, you know, the Bible says when the sign of the Son of Man appears. Well, I don't think that virgin symbolizes Jesus to me. And even though it's equated with Israel, I still don't believe that's His sign. Okay, so with that, I just want to caution y'all to not get caught up in a bunch of hype. Okay, you let God lead you by His Holy Spirit, and He's not going to keep us in the dark. Okay, He speaks to His children. Now, Miss Jean, she wrote and she said, so in one of your video updates on Jade Helm, you mentioned the military guy who had the implant involuntarily. He was forced. What of the people that are forced? They will not be held accountable for that and go to hell, right? Those that are saved, that is. People must take the chip knowingly, I think. And if you are tortured as a Christian and you buckle, will you go to hell? And another thing is, one Bible translation says the right hand, and another translation says the hand. So can you please address this hot topic? Okay. Here's my answer to this, and this is a very important question, because there's so many false teachers teaching that it's okay to take the mark of the beast. And I'll tell you again, don't you ever take that mark of the beast. You will be damned to hell. There's no coming back from that. God's not going to give forgiveness for that, okay? And no, some lady taught you can take that if it turns out to be a chip and you can just cut it out of your hand later. No, you cannot. Okay, so this is the answer. Satan mocks God always. When we come to Jesus, when we come to Him to be saved, right, to lay our life down and have Him be Lord of our life, we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths. So that's speaking out loud our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame Him, that's Satan. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So they had to speak out their testimony, the word of their testimony. That testimony is Jesus Christ, okay? So when you're in Him and you serve Him and you've laid your life down for Him, you openly profess it. That's your testimony. You speak it out loud. Okay, now for Jesus, it's about speaking out loud. You remember whenever He was talking about removing a mountain, and He said, you say to this mountain, you speak to the mountain, and you tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. Whenever He was teaching the disciples how to pray the Lord's Prayer, He said, when you pray, say. The word of their testimony is Jesus Christ, and Jesus gave the Great Commission to all of us, you guys out there, me, all of us. And He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is all about speaking boldly of Jesus Christ. All of these things we're speaking. He wants you to speak it out. So when we look at Satan, who mocks God, Satan is going to want an open confession for him, or against him. In the secret societies they are initiated in, and they swear an oath out loud. They do sacrifices to Him. They show Him that they willingly accept Him. So this comes down to free will. You will choose Him willingly or deny Him of your own free will. If anything is forced on you, then it is not truly the mark of the beast. There is no way a just and fair God is going to damn someone to hell who had something forced on them. Our God is a just judge. He is faithful and He is fair. Okay? If you're faced with receiving the mark of the beast or laying your life down for Jesus now or during the tribulation, and you are a Christian, I want you to remember this, because she was worried about a Christian buckling. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. He's going to make a way for you to escape that temptation. That temptation is denying him, right? And another thing is when, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just listened to a testimony from a guy that got to see some of the tribulation, and he was scared. He was in that line about to get his head cut off. And he was so scared, and he thought he couldn't make it. He thought he couldn't do it. And he called on the name of the Lord. And in his dream that he was having, Jesus showed up and empowered him. And he was strengthened, and he was able to go through with it. So that's what I want you to know is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means delivered out of trouble, out of all of it, the whole ball of wax, okay? Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's Jesus saying. He's saying, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus will be with you. When you're scared about, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to cave in, I'm going to deny him, I'm going to buckle, you call out on him. He said he would be there with you. He said he would save you. He said he would rescue. He would make a way. He'll help you. He's the one you call out and cry on. Cry to, okay? Call on. Now, about the hand, which hand and all of that, Revelation 13:6, and it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So we for sure know it's the right hand or the forehead. Okay? Now, the part, the other scripture where Miss Jean was saying it just says hand, that's Revelation 14:9. And it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now, right there where it's talking about hand, I looked that up in the Greek, Strong's Concordance 5495, and it did not indicate left or right. It just says hand. So this is what I want to tell you guys. I would play it safe, and I would not take that mark in either hand. When it comes to that, and you know, you're what, like which hand? What are you even debating on which hand? Don't even bother with you. There is no debate. Don't take it, either hand. The Bible definitely stated the right hand, so you know it's the right hand. But then the other scripture just said hand. Don't take it in either hand. Don't take it at all or in your forehead, okay? Avoid it. Stand for Jesus. Don't take that mark and be damned to hell, okay? Thank y'all for y'all's questions. God bless y'all.